What's going on, guys? All Things Timbo, episode 5. Please support the podcast by going to allthingstimbo.com. Click on support. Right now you can support by donating Bitcoin. Our QR code is up on the website. You can also shop Amazon. Click on any of the Amazon links, shop like normal, and we'll get a kickback. And you can also shop $6 shirts. Click on any of the links. They have a bunch of different t-shirts for $6. They also have premium band shirts. Check them out, $6shirts.com. Today we have one of my best friends from forever ago. He's pretty much my brother. He can pretty much come to my house whenever, and he does. I shouldn't say
I pretty
can.
Much do.
I mean, he pretty much used to live here. Even when I wasn't around, he'd be around, you know, hanging out with my family. And yeah, we're just gonna talk. He fell, I guess, victim, you could say. Or how do you want to say it? Felt
fucked up.
Fucked up and was addicted to opiates for how long?
4.5-5 years.
And this is a guy that was, I mean, a big, huge stud. I mean, he's big again now. Big monster.
He's still a stud.
He's still a stud. Oh, yeah. I forgot to say what's up to Adele.
Adele's here. I'm here. I'm always here.
But yeah, we're just here. I guess you can... You can give us a little rundown of what happened.
Well, first off, the whole thing about addiction and opiates is, like, it happens to anyone. You know, like, you can come up from a really good family. Like, you know my parents. Like, I didn't come up from a broken household. We're not poor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just hang out with the wrong people sometimes and get into it. And that's pretty much what happened. You know, I have problems. I have no cartilage in my shoulder, so I use that as a clutch to get my own prescription of medication. So, hold up. I think I have something to say. That's actually real shit down.
Nah, you don't gotta. We're just a conversation. So pretty much, you're saying it can happen to anyone, and I totally agree with that. There's like different ways, I guess, to fall into it. And unfortunately for you, it started with shoulder injuries. And then.
Nah, I mean, I think I've probably used that plenty of times as an excuse, but, you know, I'm done using excuses because, you know, got to man up and take responsibility, you know?
Okay.
Like, I had 3 shoulder surgeries, and each and every time they gave me oxycodone, or it was Percocet, which was the brand name, because people get mixed up with Oxycontin and oxycodone. They're the same thing, but Oxycontin is extended release, you know.
Did it not start off that way though? I mean, did you not start using because of the shoulder? Like, wasn't that the reason that you picked it up, or was it before then?
Well, the whole medical thing, like with my shoulders, it's a big thing. I really can't get into it because I have something going on with that, and I'm not allowed to talk about it with anybody. Okay. You know, I told you about it. Yeah. So,
yep.
But it happened with like a sports injury in high school, and you know, and I got like you know surgery, like 2 surgeries within a year of each other, both shoulders. And then one later on when I was like 21. But I never like was kept going with my addiction with those painkillers. Like I remember one time I stopped by myself. Like I didn't have a problem with that. It was never a problem. I mean, yeah, I took them as prescribed and followed the directions, which could have probably helped. But what happened was like I hung out with the wrong person. They were like, you know, let's do a painkiller. And I was like, all right. And I'm ready to pop a painkiller. And, you know, he shaved the Oxycontin out. And I'm like, and gave me a straw. And I was so naive. I was like, what do I do? Do I suck it up? You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Like, he's like, snort it. And I, you know, that's how it started. Like, I abused it. And it was a really good high. And, you know, went from once a week to once every other week to eventually, you know, every other day to every day.
From the transition from once a week to every day, do you just feel like an urge? Like
no, you form an addiction. Where if I were, you know, like I kept myself around it, so I kept myself like we have like it's like from what I've you know learned, I'm not an expert or anything, but like the dopamine. That's why I call stuff dope because you get high. Like that's the dopamine. Like when you eat, it's 1.5 times normal dopamine. Sex is 2 times and everything else goes from there. I don't really know the numbers besides those. So like when you're like doing it all the time, like your dopamine levels are high. So like you got to sit there and feed your dopamine levels. Cause if it goes below your normal, cause your normal is higher than what it used to be. You understand?
Is it something that your body's producing, but it's not producing?
Yeah, your body produces it all the time.
Okay, but it's not producing it when you start using, or when you start abusing, what do you call it?
Opiates.
Yeah, opiates, yep. Okay, so I get it, yeah.
Well, because like your body runs dopamine, makes you, you know, happy, feel good, whatever, and this is just from what I know. I'm, like I said, I'm not like an expert, and from what I figured out about it, like when you eat food, you like people like eating food because you get that like that little high.
Hell yeah.
Workout, sex, obviously, you yeah, know. Yeah. And, but that's just, and you know, from what I was taught, because I went to rehab, what they taught me in rehab is what someone, there's a plane crash that happened in some mountains, probably by Colorado or something like that. I don't know the whole story. All I know is the most important thing about it is like this late, her. They had their dead bodies and dead kids. Like, they're so hungry. This lady was so hungry, she ended up eating her dead kid's leg to survive. And that's only 1.5 times dopamine levels. You know what I'm saying?
Man, when was that?
Oh, I don't know. Probably in the 70s.
Yeah, there's always, there's a couple, there's a few crazy stories I've heard like that.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, if it's 1.5 times the dopamine levels, but that's survival. So eventually, like, you form a survival instinct. Like, I used to wake up every day, and the first thing I thought of was not to brush my teeth, take a shower, eat. It was drugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. The first thing, like, I woke up, first thing, and then the last thing was, if I was high, I went to bed, drugs. So it was, you know.
Is it something that you need, like, to feel normal again? Like, do you wake up and then you're like, oh, or if you don't have it, you feel like garbage, but then you have it and then you feel normal? Or is it, do you feel high? Like, you know what, yeah, I mean?
I mean, well, eventually I started doing it to get high, and I was doing it to get high and high and high, and then my tolerance went up, where what I used to spend normally to get high just made me feel normal.
So you know? You're just doing it to get by then, at a pretty point, much. When you're addicted, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But how I formed it, like, I don't, honestly, I don't think I'm, like, an addict. Like, they always tell you, like, you're an addict, like, oh, you're, because you're addicted to this, you're an addict, this and that, like. You know, when I went to rehab, they told me I couldn't drink or, you know, smoke or anything like that, or else I'm gonna switch my drug of choice to that. But I'm not gonna lie, like, I drink on the weekends, but I don't want to drink every day. Like, I drink Friday, I didn't drink Sunday, or Saturday, you know, or I don't drink during the week, or if someone invites me out, it's not like a necessity. And I didn't, you know, like, I don't really care about it.
That's like most people, they drink on the weekends. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, social, you know, social drinking.
They're probably just too, what do you call it, overcautious, oversensitive, that you're, you know.
Yeah, they think you're going to switch it up. Or because a lot of people, when they switch up from, like, you know, opiates, pretty much like heroin. That's the big thing going on right now. Like, it's actually getting so big that if you go on Ryan Road, if you go on the on-ramp of Ryan, there's a big post or a big billboard. Says, like, heroin, you don't get heroin, heroin gets you.
That's becoming a problem around here, isn't it?
It's becoming a problem everywhere.
Big time. I didn't even notice that, especially that billboard.
Especially in, like, middle-class neighborhoods, I think, or upper-class neighborhoods,
too. Any neighborhood. I mean, it's an epidemic.
Yeah. Is it, what's the connection between opiates and heroin?
It's
and
the same,
like,
thing.
Is it the same thing?
It's like the, like a benzo something, that's like Xanax, Klonopin, right. That's like anxiety medication.
It's like, what about codeine? Isn't that something
that's opiate, codeine.
That's opiate? Okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
It's a weak opiate, like, weak as fuck.
It's really
weak.
That all comes from poppy seeds, doesn't it? Or what do you call it? What's that plant?
Yeah, man, it's from the poppy seed. That's why the government went to war with Afghanistan to control the poppy field.
Yeah, dude, they got all that shit over there. That's true. That's true.
But, all right, now I can tell a story real quick. So like I said, I didn't come from a broken household. My parents are awesome. I have a huge extended family that doesn't leave Oak Creek. So, like, it wasn't like nothing bad. Like, I was abused or I needed something to cope with because my life sucked or anything, you know. It was just wrong place, wrong time, wrong person, you know. Got into it. Eventually I started selling it, or so I was around it more often, you know, because it was a good moneymaker, man. If you have a connect, you make like a ton. You can make tons of money. You know, just like, yeah. Just because, yeah, you need, it's one of those drugs that the druggie needs to live every day. So you get a call from this, like, 10, 12 people that if you have in your little web or cloud or whatever, you know, like, they'll call you every day. Same thing over and over and over. So it's like something you can count on. Like, oh, yeah, man, like, I'm probably gonna get like 6 more phone calls today and make probably like $200 more, like, profit. It was just that easy.
better clientele or worse clientele. I don't know. More reliable. That's the word I'm looking for.
So, huh? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, just, well, from there, like, I, for some reason, I don't know if I developed, like, a breathing problem from, like, because I can't breathe a lot now, and I got to see a doctor for that and everything. I cough. I haven't had this cough for, like, 4 months, ever since I stopped. So I was like, so I always have to move my head away to breathe from the mic.
Uh-huh. A breathing problem, like, asthma kind of related? Or?
Pretty much.
Okay. What, have you seen the doctor about that yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So, yeah. Like, when I talk, like, I run out of breath real quick. That's why, I mean, it's been like that for a while. It's not that I'm nervous or anything. It's just, that's just what it is.
So how about getting away from it and getting off it? Was it a once you decided to, you just did it? Or did it take a few tries?
Well, so, like, 22 is when I probably got deep into it. You know, making the money. Eventually, my source ran out of his stuff. So it was all, like, all the... I mean, I made plenty of profit with that, and with all that profit, it went, you know, everything, like, even my Delphi money, like, I spent all my money, I just emptied the bank on this shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, so you get into the addiction, and eventually, like, you know, I had a job, I had support, like, so I had income and everything, and, like, I don't remember anything I bought with any of the money I ever made in any job, besides, because I just bought pills, like, every day. And I had my own. I eventually got my own prescription because I started using my shoulder as a crutch. And I remember the first doctor I ever seen was like, "Oh, what? You're only 22. You're just a baby. Like, why should we get you? Like, you know, they don't give it out like easily. It's not easy to get unless you go to like a crooked doctor." Mm-hmm. So I was going to like, I wasn't going to crooked doctor. So I thought like, because I thought I had a legitimate problem and I can get it done. And which I did. Like 22, I started getting a prescription and. You know, I moved up the prescription ladder because I kept on saying it doesn't work. It doesn't work until I got, like, a lot of, like, if I, like, I don't know what the price is nowadays, but I got 120. Like, I can make, like, 5 G's a month to sell my script.
Wow.
If I could, and for, with insurance, it cost me probably, like, $38 for prescription.
Okay, and you said you weren't going to a crooked doctor, so how difficult was it for you? You said you had to keep going up and up and...
Every 3 months I try.
Okay.
It didn't work. And sometimes if a doctor said that, if the doctor wouldn't give me anything, I went to a new doctor.
Okay.
You know, like, and I kept like, and the thing is like, if, like I said, at first I was young and they wouldn't like that, but I would take all my medical records and like, cause I had MRIs, x-rays, surgeries and everything. I'll just give it to them. But, like, check this out. And they looked at it. Oh shit. You know, and just, it was so easy. Like, it was just like, right now, if I wanted to, I could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just that easy, but, you know, so it's something I don't want to do, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I tried getting off, well, because I started venturing into, like, basically shooting up heroin, because, you know, went to the point where, like, I was trying to save money, so instead of, like, I mean, because when I get my prescription, like, I can, like, I did so much it would kill you guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like, I get like 90 of whatever. Let's just say 30 milligrams of oxycodone. They would be gone in three to four days, a week. If I went on Friday, they were gone by Monday. You know what I'm saying? And if you did anything, if I did in a day,
that's or at you, one point, that's what you sold or what you took?
Which I took. I never. Holy I stopped shit. Selling stuff. Like, you know, I got a job. Like, you know, and then I bought stuff, did stuff. Like every month was like my part. Like every. Certain time of the month was my party month. Like, I just got all these drugs and, you know, locked myself in a room and, you know, woke up the next, you know, I mean, I wasn't in the days or anything like that. I knew what I was doing and all, but it was just, it was my idea of having fun with playing video games and snorting a bunch of pills.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because this is such a big problem, it's a big epidemic, especially around here. If you could give anybody listening that might be going through what you've experienced, maybe 1 to 3 ideas to help them get away. You could take your time if you need to think about it, even if it's just one really big one that really helped you.
Yeah, so, because I can't speak for, like, everybody. I mean, I went to 2 detoxes, and detoxes and rehab is just pretty much like you go there, they monitor you, you get it out of your system, you leave. But like I said, when I detoxed the last time, my for my clean. My clean day, it's November 4th. Like, it took me 16 days to feel somewhat normal. I mean, I still don't feel normal. Like, it's hard for me to sleep. My legs hurt. You know, just, like, I still feel some of the symptoms. And I'm, like, 40 days. Like, I don't count. It's from November 4th. But, I went to rehab, and I thought, and my parents paid a lot of money, like, cash for this because I didn't have insurance. And I told them, like, you're an idiot. Like, I'm just going to, as soon as I get out of rehab, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to do drugs. Like, it's stupid. It's a waste of money. But I didn't. So, and but like I said, people go to like 3 or 4 different rehabs. I don't know, just just get help. Like you can't do it yourself. That's okay. Like just get help. You can't do it yourself.
What kind of help? With like support? Are you talking about rehab groups? Or are you talking about like
every? I mean, anything you can get your hands on. I mean, there's NA, AA, HA, Narcotic Anonymous, alcohol, and heroin. There's actually Heroin Anonymous now because it's so big. You know, if you have like support, like family, like ask for help there. Like plenty of people asked for help when I was in rehab that, like, remember I told you about the broken homes. They came from a broken home and they went, they had to go further than their parents because their parents are addicts and they had to go to their grandparents and they helped them. And, you know, I talked to a couple of some of them. They're not really doing good, but, you know, pray to God. Hopefully they find their, something that they're missing so they can, you know, because I'm still in the beginning stages. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not even a year. Like I've met people who are sober for 4 years. This is just from heroin and they relapse and I saw them in rehab, you know.
Yeah.
Like
do they say like what got them to do it again after so long? Do they have like I guess a reasoning behind it, or is it just falling back to the trap?
One person said, specifically, he said that he didn't believe that he was an addict and everything that he learned, because he went to the place I went to before and he was there again. And he said that like he didn't believe what they all said, so he had to test it out himself. So what he did was tested it out, went and bought some shit and stuff and shot up. And it went from like once, like I said, like once every other day to once every day to all the time, like... Or once a week, you know, like I said, the steps.
Yeah.
You know, and he eventually, because they say that, like, you pick it up where you left off, no matter how many sober days you have. So if you can do, like, a couple times, like, you pick it up, like, it's just like a muscle memory. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, the same thing with your mind, like, you know, with the dopamine, like, it goes, you go back to what you were, what you ended up with.
That's probably like cigarettes, too, actually. I'm thinking about it. Like people, well, it's not as hard. It's, I don't know, maybe not
cigarettes
as hard.
Cigarettes is hard.
It is hard, yeah. Like people will quit for like 3 years and then.
And it still kills you.
Yeah, it still kills you. And something will happen in their life or whatever reason. Or maybe even some people, sometimes they tell me, oh, you know, I quit for like 3 years and I went out drinking one night and I had a cigarette and then I've been doing it ever since. It's like, what the fuck, you know? But, or somebody passes away in their family or some shit like that, like something bad or tragic happens, then they, you know, then they pick it back up and they're just back on it like they never quit again, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back to your clean date. What was your clean date again?
November 4th.
And you were telling me that it's a special
oh yeah, it's my son's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
How old is your son now?
5.
How's he doing?
Crazy. He's good. I mean, he's smart. I mean, I don't know, like, I know a lot of people talk about how awesome their kids are, so it's like every time I always think about, like, how other people talk about their kids, like, I hope I don't sound like that guy, you know what I'm saying, like, yeah, yeah. Like, that ain't even that special, bro, my kid does that in his sleep, you know what I'm saying, like, but whatever, but, like, just, you know, he amazes me every time, he tries to use big words all the time, like, clever, and yeah, that's pretty clever, right, and I'm like, yeah, no, it's clever saying clever, you know what I'm saying, and, or, like, playing Xbox, and he... we had a game, you know, get from GameStop and it doesn't have like a picture on or anything. And I was like, you know, put the games away. And he put all the games in the right place. And he put this game called Spider-Man Web of Shadows in the game that didn't have a graphic on or anything. It's like, I was like, how'd you know that goes there? And, you know, he's 5 and he goes, it says Spider-Man Game of Shadows on it. Oh, nice. You know, like crazy stuff. I'm like,
nice.
Man, there has to be something behind that. Like, you can't just read that. You ain't smarter than me, kid. No, I'm just kidding.
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Is that still his thing, Spider-Man? I remember one of his birthdays. Every Spider-Man gift was like
Spider-Man, the big thing. Batman, zombies, guns.
That's funny.
He's just a little boy, you know?
That's funny. It's just like my nephew. It's Spider-Man and Batman, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one you always, the pictures? You have
pictures of them? Okay. Yeah, no, the 4-year-old.
Nice. Yeah, it was nice though. The other day you came over, Ben, and like I rarely drink, but just sharing two beers with you was a good time. We reminisced. You swept the fridge like the old days, and that was fun. And we brought up an old memory where we had, it was your birthday, and we had a few girls over, they weren't fun or something. I can't remember. So we went to your backyard. Bumped some. I think we started with Chiodos.
Oh man, I don't know. I think it was long. I was like,
it was good music. Whatever it was. Was that the day I like went into on the pool liner?
Yeah, you jumped in the. No, I shouldn't say this because like my parents were like, how did that happen? Like I was like, well, you jumped. No, you jumped on top of the pool liner, like or the bubble thing that keeps it. It's like a solar heater. It keeps it, you know, bugs out and the heat in during the summer. And you just jumped on top of it. And I was like, I'll save you. And I jumped in and we made a big hole.
Did we like not realize?
No, we did. We didn't care. Uh-huh. Like we didn't care a lot of stuff we did back in the day.
When we left those girls inside, it turned into like the best time ever.
Yeah, they were lame. I mean,
it was more fun without them.
We had like a big thing of Corona.
Is that what we were drinking?
Yeah, because when Brugel's Bagels or whatever was still there. And we went and we took the Corona, like the, it was like a 24th, it was a big thing of Corona, and we drank it all, and we just like threw it in our garbage because we were afraid that like our parents were going to find out, or at least like I didn't want my parents to see.
Yeah. Did any of you know I actually worked at Brugger's Bagels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a while, I was the baker.
You said you had to get up at like 5 in the morning or some shit.
I'd have to be there. Was it?
You worked at Qdoba and Brugger's.
Qdoba was short because I wanted to go to a concert with my girlfriend when I was younger, and I told them about it, and they wanted me to come in. I already had tickets, so I was like, you know, I can't do it. And that was the end of that. For Brugger's Bagels, I just couldn't stand waking up that early and getting in there to bake with my little hat and stuff.
No one went there anyways, man. They shut down.
Oh yeah, yeah, man. I
How old were you?
That Tim place shut was it funny. Down.
I have no idea how old I was.
Oh, it's fucking too young to be getting up at that time of day.
Well, you were like 17, 18 or something. Something around there.
Yeah.
Life ain't that serious. Oh, shit. That's funny. I remember losing a job once over a girl.
Over a girl?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
It was a Halloween party, dude. You guys remember Shandy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess was it the first night that we... No, it wasn't the first night that we banged, but but I remember, no, it was a Halloween party, and then I was supposed to bang that night, and they wanted me to come work. I'm like, I can't come in, I'm feeling sick. But like, if you don't come in, you're fired. I'm like, well, I guess I'm fired, fuck it. Yeah. It was that time, dude, I was, what, 15, 16, so, yeah.
Was that your least favorite job?
That job sucked, dude. I had another job. No, that was my least favorite job, actually, yeah, because I worked at another wasn't a fast food place, it was like one of those restaurants in Summerfest. We went to all these festivals and worked like a fucking slave, but it was fun because there was always like, dude, you'd be working there and there's always drunk chicks like coming up, giving you attention shit, leaving you big-ass tips, dude, and flirting with you, and I was like 14 at the time, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Damn, it was good shit.
Dale was working when he was like 13, 14.
I know, dude. Child labor laws.
Speaking of Summerfest, back in the day, I'm pretty sure Tim and I ran Summerfest.
Man, Summerfest.
Drinking, beating people up.
Oh, man.
I believe it.
We were young and dumb.
Oh, man, we were young and awesome.
I guess you could put it both ways.
Hey, we didn't kill anyone. We didn't kill ourselves. And we had fun doing it.
You know who I saw today? You know who came to the station?
Who?
Robert Rivas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was asking about you.
He actually, he was messaging me, like, well, he does, like, every few months just to see what's up.
Yeah, just randomly. Yeah, he always does. He keeps in contact. He's a nice guy, man.
What's he been up to? He has that job.
He's been bouncing. He's got a job. I think he's, oh, man, it's some kind of engineering job, but I don't know what company he works for. He bounces around so much, dude, I can't keep up. He tells me, but I don't know, like, it's always something new with him.
Is he building up another car?
No.
No. For some reason, I thought he was building up another Civic.
He wants to put together a Civic and drive, No. Actually, he bought a Acura that was wrecked, and he's supposed to put it back together.
Okay.
And drive it. Yeah.
One of those.
Huh? Yeah, but it was like a 4-door TL or something. Nothing like, you know, like an Integra or something. Yeah. Or Civics that he used to have.
That Civic was awesome.
That green one?
Dropped the H22 in there. Dude. And it was just really, really fast.
A 94 Civic DX, so it came factory with a 1.5 liter, no, slow as hell. Took it out and put a Prelude motor in there.
Hey, was that the car you were driving and you got pulled over in?
No, that was when I used to take like Adam Wensler's Integra.
Oh, yeah. He stole his dude's car in Walgreens parking lot, dude.
Why did I have a key in the first place?
I don't know.
Why did Adam let you drive in the first place?
Okay, first... There's this guy, Adam Wensler. He must have... Well, he let me drive his car sometime, and I don't know if I made a spare or...
He probably made a spare.
I think he used to just take it. He didn't say anything, and then he just got used to it.
I'll tell you how I got caught. Well, there's that story, too. I'll get into two quick stories.
I got another story, too, by the way. Go on.
So, I must have made a spare, because I was able to take it whenever. And he worked right by my house at Walgreens. So... You know, eventually I just started going to Walgreens, and it was weird because it was right by the pharmacy drive-through. So whoever's working there obviously knows, like, someone drives that car, and they just see this kid come every once in a while and take the car. But there was a time where they sent him, he had to go out and, like, get something for Walgreens. So he goes out there, and his car's not there.
I remember this.
And at first I get a phone call, like, my phone's ringing, and I'm like, no. No way, dude. What's going on? So I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to answer this one. And it just keeps going and keeps going. I'm like, fuck. So I pick up and he's like, do you have my car? Just like that, real fast. And I was like, what do you mean? Cause I was
like, oh, he didn't know.
He wanted to make sure because he was about to call it in, stolen.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I felt so weird at first. And then I was like, yeah, I have your car. He was like mad. I mean, he had all, you know. He had all rights to be mad.
Wensler got mad, dude.
But then, you know, I brought it back and felt super weird. I think I parked it and told him I left the keys there and just, like, left right away. Just because it was like, kind of awkward. Or I don't know if maybe I kept... Because I think I had a spare, so maybe I just kept that anyway. I don't know. But then there was another time I was with this guy right here, Ben. And we were going down Oakwood. And this is before I even had my license.
We were on Howell. You parked. Howell. Got pulled over in Fairfield.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Howell. Oh,
we're going past Oakwood, though.
Okay. So, anyways, I got pulled over for suspicion of speeding, or what did he say?
It was something like stupid.
It was pretty ridiculous. And, well, I didn't have my license, so I was fucked either way, you know. And, I had to act like Ben. Like, you didn't know how to drive stick. And I had to act like Ben was going to take the car, so they didn't do anything with it. So, Ben, like, hopped in the front seat, right? And you just acted like you were about to take off. You just sat there.
I forgot who I waited for, bro.
How did I get back? Dude, I got pulled over at the house we were going to.
Yeah, we were with a party.
I was in front of the house we were going to. That's where I got pulled over.
Did you get arrested?
In front, yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Garbage. Damn. Garbage, garbage, garbage.
You kidding me? Tim got arrested probably like every twice a month.
Well, I mean, like for something stupid, though. That instance, though.
Like, he just, dude, like, was...
When I think back to like my childhood, it's not even really... When I was younger, I guess, a few years back, like, I would get in trouble for things that everybody around me was doing. Everybody.
I was about to say that, like, you had a target on your back, like, yeah. For some reason, like, you were really, like, unlucky when it comes to...
Definitely.
Everybody was doing that. I was probably doing 10 times worse of stuff than Tim did, and everybody else around us, besides Mueller was the one who also was getting in trouble. But it was me, you, and Mueller, three baddest kids.
Holy shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's trouble, but we had fun doing it, though.
Yeah, definitely had a lot of good times.
We made it out.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's funny, man. That reminds me of... I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to say
it
anyway.
You should.
Fuck it.
Can't bring it up.
Yeah, I know, right? Remember that old Honda Accord that Robert had? That first one he had? It was a hatchback, and it was six-shift. It was a two-door. It was really old. It was like a 1984.
I don't know. Was I around?
I feel like you might have been.
Okay. I don't remember that car.
Okay, so he had... But it was like in mint condition. It was a stick shift. It was two-door. And this is when he was dating this Christy chick, anyway. He had her dad's golf club in his back seats, and it was me, Robert, and then Mike. I'm not going to say his last name because I don't want to put him on a blast, but I think you guys know which Mike we're talking about. So, and it was a two-door car. Robert was driving. I was in the front seat, and we were just rolling around. We were bored. I'm like, what do? We got a golf club. We're driving around the street. We're bored. What else would we do? Like the golf club. I would just start knocking shit over while we're driving. So we're driving down a road, and this was in Oak Creek. And Mike Shep is leaning, because I was in the front seat. I said it.
You didn't say his, it's not, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's not his full name anyway. But anyway, he was leaning out, he was in the back seat, so he had the golf club, and he was like leaning out, and it was a two-door car, and he was trying to like hit shit, and he was hitting it, and he was hitting every house we passed by. And then there was one swing where he missed, and he hit Robert's fender. Dude, like that. He got back in the car and put the golf club down, and we're just driving, dude. And there was just an awkward silence for 2 minutes. Nobody said shit, dude. We're driving, and then I don't know where Robert's like, dude, did you just fucking hit my car? And then Mike's like, oh, yeah, my bad. I just started laughing, dude. Oh, it was so funny, man, because nobody said shit for like 2 minutes, and then Robert's like, dude, did you just fucking hit my car? It's fucking rolling, man.
Oh, that's like instant karma, man, right
there. It is, dude. Holy shit.
Were you there when he got a fat ass dent, too.
It was funny.
Were you there when he got hit? He's like, I got snuck. Oh, no. And we're about to fight some people at McDonald's, and then he came out of nowhere. Like, we were at McDonald's. I thought we were about to get in a fight or something, or I thought, like, I don't know. I remember, like, he came to that random the McDonald's before, like, they changed it up where it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, and then he just came out of nowhere, like, through the doors, and I was like, I got snuck.
I saw him later at your gas station after that happened. I wasn't even involved in that whole, like, situation with him and those guys. But I remember I got my work done on my knee. I was just eating at Wendy's, and then I get jumped by, like, three of the guys that are, like...
Yeah, it was...
You know, Mike... Or he squashed it with them, I remember. But when you were saying that story about how he was like, you're going around hitting, like, you know, cars with golf clubs. One time we went to go find them guys. Like, I was with them. We went to go find them. We were driving around. Mm-hmm. And we were walking down the street. I forgot what neighborhood, but there's this big RV. And Mike had this big brick. He was about to do something, like, stupid with it, probably, you know. And we couldn't find him. So he's all pissed. He takes the brick and he throws it at the RV window, and it goes boom, and nothing happens.
Falls over.
And he goes, what the fuck? And he takes it again, and starts throwing it all. But he's trying to break the window, and it's not breaking. He goes, man, fuck this, and just left.
Dude, he was a fucking character.
I miss it. I haven't seen him in such a long time.
We ran into him randomly at Chipotle like 6 months ago, probably. Rich and I did. It was weird.
Did you guys catch up? You have time to talk?
Barely, yeah. Barely? It looked like he was kind of like in his own world, or he just seemed kind of, I don't know, a little indifferent. And he was like, all right, you know, it's like, I'll see you later. And he just kind of left. I don't know. Probably had his own shit going on.
He has a kid now.
Yeah, he does.
Did he or she just turn one, or did they just, maybe it was just like pictures?
No, it was a one-year birthday.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, beautiful kid.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
Next time he stops in, give him my number.
Oh, well.
There's some stuff that I've had to clear up with him for the longest time, and just never got to talk to him.
Like, yeah. What?
Because Chuck, I think it was Chuck Gaber, somebody was telling him, like, I snitched on him for some, like, drug-related shit, and, like, I would never do that.
Yeah, but if it was Chuck, it probably was a lie.
That's what I'm saying. So, I don't know. I just like to talk to him. Just, I mean, not only to catch up, but to clear anything that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I don't think he believes that anyways. I think he mentioned that to me. I think the only reason why I heard that was because I think Mike said something to me about it. And I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, I'd hope he wouldn't believe that. But, I mean, I just want to tell him, like, face to face.
Everybody knew something about something and what was going on. So I think it could, and he probably didn't believe it anyway.
Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, I can see what you're saying, though. You do want to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
Crazy Mike Shep.
God, dude. Why would we always roll around looking for fights and starting fights and shit like that?
Because I don't know what to do except for drink and fight. And we're good at both, so why not?
Dude, but I don't think this generation of high schoolers do that, do they? Or do they? I don't know.
We were just crazy. I don't know.
Probably.
You know what, though? What really, really humbled me is MMA. I mean, Yeah. For me, at least. Just being, like, sparring with people that, you know, can really do damage with you, or being, like, submitted by a smaller person and being controlled by a smaller person.
It's frustrating is what that is.
I mean, there's one thing about, like, going around and starting a fight. There's another thing, like, about finishing a fight. I just punched some kid in the face like that even a month ago. I was pretty drunk, though, so because I was walking by, he was in a BMW, and he was talking to his my friend, you know who Allie Gruber is?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
she busted her nose on the bowl at Red Rock, so her nose was all checked up. She was having a bad time, you know. She's my friend, and all of a sudden was talking something out of the car while we're leaving, and she says something. He's like, "Man, fuck you, stupid dumb cunt," or some shit like that. And I leaned over. I was like, "What'd you say?" And then, because he was in the back of the car, or I went back to the car to talk shit. And I was like, "Everybody rolled up their window, except for the guy was looking, trying to roll up the window and stuff. He didn't know because he didn't know what he was doing. I was too drunk." I leaned in and he started talking. So I just hit him twice.
While he's sitting in the back seat.
Yeah, because I'm 6'5", so I'd have been way over, and I just was like, he kept on saying more stuff, but he looked kind of frightened, and he was like, blah 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 blah, and I was just like,
we definitely didn't start too much shit, but one funny fight I'll never forget is we were at McDonald's, and I was just sitting by the register, and this girl comes in with a grill, and she
Stephanie Lofi.
Yeah, there we go, she's pulling it out there. All right, she comes in with her grill on, and she's like, "How do I know you wash your ass? How do I know you wash your ass? You clean? You clean?" And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? I'm looking at my friends like, are you serious? And then her boyfriend comes by. He looks at everybody and then fucks with the smallest guy in the group, Jeff. Jeff Pietro.
No, he was fucking with Jeff or Ed?
Maybe both. I know Mueller Jeff was getting fucked with. So.
Yeah, it was probably because Jeff was an idiot and he talks stupid. Like the way he talked. I can't even think what he said. Like, dude, I eat like a whole pizza and I'm not getting any bigger when I work out. I'm like, so, do you remember Pietro?
No.
Oh,
I remember the name. If I saw him, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Let me give you a rundown on this kid real quick before Tim finishes the story, because you didn't know this kid. Like, when Bally's was around and Rich and Nick were doing their Total Fitness thing.
Nick Muller?
Nick Muller. Okay, they're fitness trainers or personal trainers. And
yeah, they were.
They train people, and that's how they met Pietro. That's how we got to meet Pietro, because of them. And then this is the type of guy, like, who would go up to someone who's, like, on, a treadmill or something. He goes, "Hey, what are you working out today?" And the person would say, like, "Oh, I'm working out triceps." He goes, "Oh, okay, why don't you meet me over there? I'll give you some good tricep workouts." And then he goes over to, like, Jeff, or I think not Jeff. You go over to Rich. Rich told me the story. Or Nick, I can't, whatever, one of them. He's like, "Hey, tell me some workouts to work this muscle right here." Like, that's the kind of, you know, I've had the kid.
That's funny.
All right, so he was talking shit.
So her boyfriend comes up and starts messing around with Jeff Pietro, the smallest, tiniest kid with us. And all of a sudden, I see Andy Mueller come and just cold clock the fuck out of this guy. Drops down. I think he tries to stand up again, gets dropped again. And then somehow they end up on the floor, and it's just chaotic for a little bit. But
I remember it was right by the doorway, and we looked at each other like, because he was on top of Andy, but dude was a fat dude, you know? So I'm pretty sure, and we're all drunk, so Andy would probably do fell, and he couldn't hold his weight. And we looked at him like we looked at his friends, like, should we just start punching people or something? Like, we just kept looking, and, like, Andy controlled it. So.
Yeah, his friends just, you were talking one down. I remember somebody's brother, and you were just telling him, like, just, this isn't your problem, and it was okay.
Ben, I remember you went off on some dude who walked in. We're all sitting down eating, and he just started talking shit to Nick Bates for wearing sandals or something.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there was another incident. Yeah, I think the dudes got scared. Oh, they got scared and they left, and they left their food there. They ordered food, and you took their food and ate it afterwards. But I remember you headbutting the soda machine because you were so pissed. You were like, "Come on, motherfuckers, let's go." And they ended up leaving. They left their food. That was pretty funny.
I did this?
You did this, yeah.
Was I heavily intoxicated?
You could have been.
I probably was. I don't remember that.
I was always sober because I never drank in those times.
Yeah, right? This guy over here.
Remember you were like Mr. Headbutt. You'd always be headbutting shit and splitting your head open.
Yeah, you headbutted the fucking soda fountain. That was funny.
Break beer bottles over my head, too.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
And
I saw that. And headbutt, I was right next to you.
Headbutt the corner of TVs.
Oh man. Oh, yes. Where was that? Gumps?
Ices.
Oh. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Mr. Headbutt over here.
Shit.
And then.
Oh wait, hey, Kierzak's. when Chuck and I were wrestling, and I was wrestling him, and like they broke up, like, you can't be doing that. Feet all over the TV, man. Just someone's house. Just talking all this shit, and I just was like, this guy talking to me, and he was. So I headbutted the shit out of him because he was like my height, and I knocked him out, headbutting him.
That got chaotic too. I can't. That was a weird time. Were you there for that one?
No. Nope.
I do remember that.
And I was about to fight his friend. And then, like, Mueller, out of all people, got into it. And I pushed Mueller aside, and I was back, and I'm getting ready. And I stepped on his rib, and I broke his rib.
Oh, shit.
And it broke up. Like, dude didn't do anything about it. And then that dude was, like, wandering around the neighborhood with, like, a bat or something looking for me. Do you remember that? That shit was crazy.
You know what I remember? I remember, like, I talked about it on the podcast before. Like, I got a call from Nick saying that some dude wanted to fight me. And they ended up picking me up, and we drove like to the tennis courts.
Yeah, I heard that.
And you weren't there for that?
No, I had a full job.
Yeah, man. I'm not gonna like go through the whole story because it's already on a previous podcast. But one thing I left out was we saw them walking around, and we were still in our cars. We didn't know what was going on yet, and they had a bat. And whoever somebody brought from like Franklin walked up and took the bat, and then it was just like they just handed it over, like. It doesn't make any sense.
I did hear about that. I forgot who it was. He was black, right?
Yeah. I think he's a football player.
I can't. I'm trying to think.
Lamont or something. I might have made that up.
Shit, racist.
He's put some random black guy's name. Oh, shit.
I remember that one time, all three of us were at this party in Greenfield.
I was just going to bring that up.
you can't. How can you bring it up, dude? You're doing.
I could bring
you're up. You're doing vodka bongs or something like that, like, you know, they kept on pouring hard alcohol and you were taking it all like
was I aware that did I think it was beer, or did I know it was hard alcohol being put in the beer bong?
You were a champ.
Dude,
either way,
I can, like, thinking back to how we used to drink.
I was there, but you guys, yeah,
we're both sober. I was sober too.
There's no way I could handle that now. There's no way. You put like a little bit of anything into a beer bong besides beer, and I'm gonna be fucked.
You know, that night there was six dudes that fucking came after you.
I think there was more than that.
The start of my legend.
No.
should I start it off and how it started, and then?
Do you remember?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I do remember, and you guys can go on from there. I remember. Well, actually, fuck.
Go.
I remember.
You remember?
vaguely remember. I don't know if I was arguing with my girlfriend at the time, or trying to calm her down, or she was like being crazy.
Yeah, she was being hysterically retarded.
Okay, so I was trying to calm her down, and was I saying something to somebody, or?
What happened is like I say, listen, well, everybody was getting had to leave, like, because like something happened, like I know the people were happening, but like everything was happening outside the place, and the cops were about to come, and you know, Ernesto was like, Ernesto's 19th birthday. We're all under 21 and stuff. So, like, he was like, everybody got to go. And, you know, Sarah was crying and being stupid. And, you know, Sarah being drunk, stupid. You know, that's why I hated hanging out with him when she was drinking. She was retarded. And you were trying to calm her down. And, like, your dude was like, you guys got to go. You got to go. And you're like, yeah, hold on a second. And I was, like, sitting in the corner just, like, waiting for you guys. That was your ride. And he was just, like, eyeing you up. And I'm like, oh, hell no, don't do it. And then he, like, hit you in the back of the head, and as soon as he hit you, I'm like, boom.
I that's what I do remember, just getting clocked in the back of my head, and, like, at the same second, like, he was already hit. Like, I was already hit. I'm like, holy shit. And then, man, that, I said chaotic before, but that's the most chaos I've ever been around for, like, a fight, I guess. Because, I mean, the whole house was just, like, fucking fighting on the way out of the door.
Well, that's what I remember. I was in the corner because, like, I got put. I mean, because I wasn't, you know, I just had surgery like a couple of months ago. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't like big or anything. Like, I didn't work out, or, I mean, I was still tall. So I'm just throwing that out there because I could have done a better job now. You know what I'm saying? No, but I was in the corner and people were like, they were like pushing me. I just was, you know, just punching them and stuff like that. Like, a bunch of people. And then Gabe, Ernesto's brother tried breaking it up, and I wasn't paying attention because, like, you know, they're holding
too many people.
I don't know, I probably punched like five people in that room. And then Gabe tried breaking it up. I go, boom, right in his face. I remember he was on the ground. Well, the funny story about all that is, like, the two of the people in that room who I beat up, I ended up hanging out with them, like, years later during, like, drug binge or areas or time, which is kind of funny. They told me the story, like, yeah, like, you were on top of me, and you looked at me, you're about to punch me in the face, and I was about to shit myself, and you got off, and you started punching someone else. I was like, oh, shit. Because, you know, and then, like, and then we left, like, Gabe was like, oh, it's like, dude, you hit me in the face, man, leave. And I was like, oh, my bad. And we all left, and I was like, I went to Dale, and I was like, Dale, get Tim. Like, where's Tim? Like, because you were wasted. And
there was I tried to go upstairs. There was no coming up because there was, like, still all those people downstairs. So it was just me and you outside. Six dudes came outside.
No, I was talking about inside still.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, because what happened is, because I was leaving, and I thought, like, Tim was just getting pummeled or something. Like, yeah, you know, shit. Nothing happened. Yeah, no, but you were fine, I think, because all the attention went on me, obviously.
Yeah.
I took all the aggro for you. and I was like, oh, and then I walked outside, and this kid, like, we're like, where is he? Where is that motherfucker? And, like, because I beat a couple of his friends up, so he was, like, one of the other friends, and he was running. He, like, remember, it was a downstairs thing, and it had, like, a railing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was an upper apartment, and he jumped over the couch and tried jumping on top of me, and I stuck my fist out like that and punched him in the face. And then I went outside, and Adele was downstairs, and I was like, all right, Dale, let's go. I was like, come on, come help. And Dale's like, all right. And
no, dude.
A bunch of people came out, and I'm like, and they just go around Adele, like Adele's like a rock in a river.
I stood like this, like I was expecting a fight. I'm like, all right, here we go. And it just went around me, went after you, dude. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, shit like that happens.
Still, you took care of it, man. You came out with all those people with a bloody lip, maybe?
I don't think anything happened. I remember I was straight. And then the cops came, and they're like, you need an ambulance? And I looked at my shirt, and I'm like, oh, this isn't my blood.
Wait, did I get busted that night?
Or Tim, you were, yeah. We had to pick you up from the police station there.
I always think, like,
because I was like, Tim, come here. And then you're like,
I'm going to talk Amanda, to this cop
Amanda
right
and
here.
Sarah, and then they I think, yeah, Amanda, the dark haired one, she went into someone else's house, knocked on the door, and asked if they go in. I think Sarah was with you. They just went to a random house. And then Tim was like, you were in the car, and they're telling you to stay in the car. And I think it was with Daniel Sabaka. You remember him?
Mm-mm.
Big D?
Oh, yeah.
And then I think that's his last name. I can't ever call him Big D so much, you know, you don't remember anybody's last name. But, like, they're, like, telling you to stay in because they're going to leave, and they're scared because there's cops around and stuff. And you got out of the car and started talking to the police.
Yeah.
You were trying to tell them the story. And you were just, like, shit-faced. You don't even remember telling the story, obviously, because you're so shit-faced. That's not even the first time you did that. We were at the high school, and you did the same thing where I was like, Tim, go. I was like, Tim, go. Got here. Tim, go. Tim's just, like, talking to the cop all drunk, and they took Tim away.
Man. That's, like, when I got, like, underage tickets back in the day when I was obviously underage, like, they multiply every time and they just got bigger and bigger.
In price?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
For a second offense, so if it's like 200, 400, and
I don't know how many I got, and all my friends are doing the same shit, but I'm gonna go talk to this cop and just have a little conversation here.
Instead of, like, people, like, most of our friends who were hanging out with us were wasted as Tim, they'd run towards the fields and stuff and, like, hide in bushes and hide under rocks or something like that. This guy goes to the police office. Tries to tell him the story, what happened. He can't even make any sense.
You know what, though? I'm glad I got that, like, out of me when I was younger. Because I don't get in trouble anymore, you know?
No.
So I got rid of all that. I mean, it's not on my record or anything.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
I can imagine getting into shit like that now.
You're talking about people running away, and I'm going to the cops and stuff. This reminds me of being with Andy Kierzik. And we were doing some dumbass shit. And anyways, we didn't realize, like, they were secretly surrounding the area we were at. So we ran. We were at the high school. We ran from the high school. He ran left, and I ran towards the fence. I hopped the fence, but I kept my eyes, like, looking back. After I hopped the fence, I ran straight into a fucking cop. Right into his arms. He was just like, you know, it was really dark. Yeah, I was like, fuck.
Come back home, Tim. Basically.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, I guess it's... I mean, I didn't have to do all that, but it's good that I got it out of me.
You've been in the street races with us. We used to go street races, right?
Yeah.
Memphis was fun. Threw yourself out there in the worst places. Tim's like, oh, we can get in trouble. Let's go.
Robert, I was with Robert when we were recording, and he dipped off from the cops. Do you know about the story?
Not this one.
So there's more than
one of them, but yeah.
Yeah, we were in his Civic, and he dipped off from the cops. He was racing somebody, and he noticed the cops, so he dipped off and kept going in these random neighborhoods. And I recorded the whole thing. And maybe 30 minutes later, like, we get pulled over because, you know, they have a description or whatever, and they want to see what's going on. They have the camera. They start playing the camera, and they, like, can't figure it out. And they keep, like, fast-forwarding and playing, and they skip over, like, all the shit they needed to see.
Oh. So, I heard about this one. I remember this one. That's funny. That shit was fun, dude.
It was...
Street racing was fucking fun, man. You all fucking... Everybody meets up. I don't know how everybody knows where to meet up. Everybody meets up at the same place. Just race, and then when the cops come, just fucking...
That happened, like, everything we did. Like, everybody knew where to meet up somehow.
Yeah, it was weird.
I mean, that's why it was fun. It was always fun. You always were with, like, a crowd of people, but you knew them all. Everybody knew you and this is everything, you know? It was easy-minded, kind of, like, fun. Like, you didn't have to worry about... No drama, because everybody knew each other.
Yeah.
There was more respect.
Yeah,
there you go. There was more respect, actually. That's... Racing under the home bridge was the worst, though, dude. Because there was only one way in and one way out.
I never went there.
It's fun. It's cool, because there's two lanes. It's a two-lane thing, and then there's a whole bunch of pillars. Because that's the pillars that hold up the bridge, and when you're flying by, all you hear is woof, woof, woof. You know, and the faster you're going, the faster you're coming and shit. There's actually another exit, There's one way in and one way out, right? But there was some other exit. I don't know. It's all industrial there. But remember that silver pickup that my dad used to have? It was a silver Chevy. I'm with my brothers. And when we went down there, I wasn't 16 at that time that we went down there. But we dipped off because the cops had the exit blocked. And my brother had a truck. So he went over this big-ass curve, whatever, went boom, dude. And some dudes was running. And... We got around the cop, and some we picked up some stranger on the way. He was like, hold on. He started beating on the truck, and he jumps in the bed of the truck, and we took off. It was funny as hell. Just picked up some random stray. That's how it was, though. It was cool, and then he just called his boys up and picked
him
up.
Oh, yeah. He was racing? He was like one of the racers?
Yeah, he was one of the racers, but he didn't want to get in trouble, so he didn't wait. So he saw us dipping off. Yeah, so he kind of waited. You're about
homeless people?
I know, shit, right? That was fun. That was all fun.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you the story about when I was downtown, I got in a fight with a bunch of people and they ran around the whole city looking for me? Okay. So I was downtown, I was waiting for my friend, he went to go get food with his girl. So I was downtown, you know, he lived right over on like Water Street area by the Fonzie statue. And I was waiting for him, like, man, I can just gonna chill in my car. Like, I called my friend up and asked what he was doing from when I used to work with. He was like, oh, I'm at Buckheads. I was like, all right. So I went in Buckheads, and they had these Svetka vodka and Red Bull little mini pitchers. And then I just was drinking. I just, you know, after like two of them, I was pretty gone, you know, waiting. And my ex was there, and it's like she wasn't 21, and it was the only place she should go or she could get into. But she was with like a group of people, and it was like a Thursday night too. So it was like, it wasn't like big, but it was like not local people, but everybody knew each other kind of stuff. That's what it seemed like. And like, I was, you know, getting a drink, and she, like, grabbed me, started crying, and acting all stupid, and I was probably drunk, telling her, like, shut up, you know, like, quit acting stupid. And I remember this guy, you know, how I get, like, this guy was looking at me, like, with his hands up and, like, in the air, like, what the fuck is going on kind of stuff. And I just, I don't know, something snapped, and I took this nice little mini pitcher and fucking smacked him over the face with it. And he was into a group of, like, four or five people. And when I hit that first one, I took my left hand and punched someone right next to him, and I punched like three people. I punched like three people going through that crowd, and I ran around like the. You ever been to Buckheads? Ran around by the entrance, waiting to fight some more people, and like 10 more people started coming around the corner, and I was like, oh shit! And I turned around, and I ran outside, and I was just chilling there, and then people started coming at me, and I was backing up, going down the street, just, you know, some of them come around from the side by the street, and I'll just, you know, hit them and drop them, and, you know, just, like, it was, like, an endless, you know, like, supply of people, like, coming through my, like, running into my fist, and I was picking up shit, like, chairs and tables and throwing them at them, and I was running away, and I ended up running away, and I called my friend, who you know, he was a G, you know, like, I'm just saying that because, like, I was like, hey, man, I was like, hey, Steve, I'm about to get jumped. I was like, come. He's like, where you at? I was like, over by Buckhead's on third, old third. He goes, all right, I'm going to bring the heater. And he's like, hey, Ben's about to get jumped. And so, so I'm like, he was like 28, 29. I was like 22. And he came, you know, and I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, my nigga about to come, about to punk these kids. I kept saying it to myself. And I walked all the way back to where it was so I can keep an eye on him. Because so, I'm going to punk these kids. And suddenly I hear someone like, there he is. Oh, and then shit. They went around, like, they went from Buckheads and went over to, like, the man, like, the walking bridge and everything, like, went around the whole city, like trying to look at me. And I just got done running away, like, three blocks the other way so they couldn't catch up to me. So I'm all, like, out of breath. And, like, I was on the phone with him. He's like, where are you? Where are you? I'm like, oh, I'm about to get jumped. Like, they're catching up on my tail. Like, dudes were, like, coming after me. And they're, like, they grabbed me as I was on the phone. I'm like, I'm getting jumped. And then, like, they, but what happened was, like, when they both, like, tried, like, I was bigger than they were, which probably helped out a lot. And then they tried grabbing me. I remember double punching them, like, Wreck-It Ralph and shit, you know? And that's what, I told this story to someone, and someone was like, Wreck-It Ralph over here. But I was like, I just double punched them, and this guy, like, came up and tried putting me in a rear naked chokehold. And, like, this, you know, we did this for a while, you know what I mean? Like, even any amateur, like, person who rolls knows to tuck your chin and grab it, something, like, it's just, like, reflex, like, yeah, that's yeah. what they get into you. And when he did that, I got him, and he didn't have any like he couldn't, like, hold on to me. Mm-hmm. So I stood up and I threw him, and he let go, and I was out of breath. So I just started, like, putting my hand around his neck and started choking his windpipe and shit. And so when I was doing that, a corner of my eye, I saw this guy try to knee me and, like, come to knee me because I was, like, bent over. And I backed up and pushed him, like, you know, just like that. And suddenly, like, everybody, like, suddenly, like, four more people jump on top of me, and I got out of there, like, and I saw a taxi cab on the road, and I got into that taxi cab and closed the door.
Nice.
And that's pretty much how it ended. I mean, it was pretty crazy. Like, they surrounded the taxi cab, and I was just, like, looking at everybody. I was like, oh, shit, there's a lot of motherfucking people out there, and I was like, just go. So we just left.
Nice. Crazy, man.
That could have ended badly, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben doesn't think so.
I was like, let me get my cardio back. Just talking shit out the window. And they're like, because, I mean, I got punched in the face. I got nicks and stuff. I wasn't bad or anything. And the one guy, like, a couple of them were all, like, bruised and, like, bloodied and stuff. And they're like, look at your face, motherfucker. I was like, look how many people are here, you idiot. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Oh, fuck that.
Wild.
That's fucking crazy.
You probably have the, like, craziest fight stories that I know out of anybody I, you know personally.
By far, Ben, yeah. You do.
That's not by a good far. Thing.
Oh, be proud of it, man. It's funny.
Oh, speaking of getting hit by a car, I got a fight story that someone got hit by a car. You ever been to the Dells?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or when you go across a bridge, just kind of like a windy turn. Like, I don't know if you know what I'm talking, I mean, it's like downtown Dallas area, you know, like with all the old stores and stuff.
Yeah, I'd have to see it.
Yeah. It's like it goes across the Milwaukee River or whatever river that is.
Wisconsin River,
something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was with Neil. Remember Neil?
Yeah.
I was with Neil and his friend. We were just
Gonzo?
Walking.
Yeah.
Gonzo Pac-Man. And then people were coming out of this bar, and this, like, one small little tough guy was, like, stuck out his chest and just kept walking, you know, and bumped him to my friend, and he was about to bump into my other friend and try checking him, and he was about to bump into me, and homie don't play that game, you know, so he tried bumping me, and I pushed his ass, like, down, and then, like, suddenly, like, three people charged me, and I hit one person in the face, and I lost my shoe. I was in the middle of the street at this time, and I walked away, and they're all sitting there. And then, like, a car, because, like, you can't see around the corner that well, so it's, like, who's going to be in the middle of the fucking street, you know? Like, so that's what I think about the car. Dude, car came around and swept, like, two of them and shit.
Holy shit.
I mean, holy it wasn't shit. Really that bad, because it didn't, like, sweep him where he's, like, rolled over the car, but he hit, like, two of them, and they're on the hood and stuff, and I just kept walking. Like, you know, because, I mean, I had to think about my friend, I had to think about Neil and his friend, like, you know, like, we're obviously outnumbered and outsized, like, they're gonna get their ass kicked, you know, and I don't want to put that on my conscience, you know, like,
I never understood the, like, walking chest tall,
yeah, it's, bumping I don't know what the fuck
people.
It is with people,
I don't get that, but you know what, I used to let that really, really bother me, and now I just really don't give a fuck.
Yeah, about you look it. At it, you don't even think twice about it, you see it, and you're like, oh, this guy's
even when they keep if somebody keep bumps walking. Me now, it's kind of, it's funny to me now, it's just like, I don't even get it, whatever.
you almost laugh at him a little because you look at him like this dude's really self conscious or he's got something to cover up.
You know? You guys laugh at him. I make him pay.
Ben just takes him.
I mean, like, you know, they're gonna walk off stupid. It's just like, hey, no, it wasn't really like that, but you know what I do.
Yeah, dude.
If you can.
I mean, if they bump into me like that, I'm not saying I'm not going to pick someone out of the crowd and be like, look at that guy looking like an idiot.
If you can, figure out a way to come with us to the jungle and take some ayahuasca with me and my coworker. I don't think it would bother you that much. Those guys.
Oh.
After the experience.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Like when you said about the... Well, yesterday you said about the ayahuasca and I was like, I knew about it too.
Oh, have you've been thinking about it?
Yeah, with the roots and how they, like...
Copy vine.
You know, I was actually watching something on probably, like, the History Channel. Like, how did, like, the natives know to mix all that stuff and do all that stuff together to get that experience? You know what I'm saying?
Are you asking was it on the documentary you were watching?
It's some of that probably Ancient Aliens kind of stuff. You ever watch that show? That show trips you out. I've seen
it, yeah. It's kind of cool. It's really cool, actually. Not kind of cool. It's really cool. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of time. I don't know if there's spot on our plane, but there's definitely room in our retreat. Something to think about.
Have you ever done psychedelics, Ben?
No.
I haven't either. Don't want to.
I think the hardest, hardest drug I ever did, which was the hardest drug you probably can't do, was age.
Yeah.
But
the psychs that, like, I do occasionally aren't physically addictive. Like
psychedelics aren't
I think ketamine is, right?
No, ketamine is it's like a tranquilizer, I thought.
Okay, I thought
Special K.
I thought I read that ketamine was addictive. But I could be wrong about that. So
I never heard anybody getting addicted to like LSD or mushrooms or something.
No.
Yeah.
You might enjoy it a lot, but you know, it's not something that you're gonna need.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, in my opinion, I think the from what I've heard from other people who had, you know, because I went to rehab, similar addictions. Like, I met, you know, I was kind of friends with this. He's a cool guy. Like, this guy, he was into meth, crack, coke, crack, same thing. Alcoholics and marijuana, too, but marijuana.
Yeah. I have a quick question. Did any of them mention psychedelics as, like, help?
No. No. There was they talk about studies that are in different countries, but since we're in America, the whole FDA and the whole bullshit, you know, because it's big scam, big government stuff. I mean, this, you can go on and on about that stuff, but you know, there's stuff that's been proven to help you get an experience of quitting addiction. You know, I've heard about, and even the counselors there that have, like, you know, the master's degrees and stuff like that, because you know, that's what you got to be a counselor there. They talked about it, but they, you know, what else? What can you do? It's not legal in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. They think that it helps with mental health, like LSD and you know, other psychedelic drugs.
I believe it.
Yeah.
There was just an LSD study that got published. There's the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies that do a lot of work for a long time, and the crazy thing, like I've said before on previous podcasts, it's crazy to me that it's easier for them to do studies with psychedelics over pot. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
That is bullshit.
Studies on they do like MDMA research for post-traumatic stress disorder. They do LSD for, I forgot the last study was done for like end of life something. I forget what the actual thing is called.
Afterlife experience or something.
Well, it's like when they're like really worried about death, I think.
Oh.
I think it was like helping with that, helping cope maybe. But if you go to maps.org, you can go check out all their different published work yourself.
Yeah, you know, like psychedelics, I think in a controlled environment and with a like an expert professional, whatever you want to say, like if they can control it and be science, bitch, you know. Like, yeah. I think that's, you know, they can work wonders, but if you're just gonna go out and get high and just do it just to do it, it's not gonna be the same.
Yeah, definitely. To get that real experience, like that life-changing experience, it's got to be a high dose too, so you're not really able to go out on such a heavy dose, so you'd have to be like in a controlled environment or at least have somebody watching over you while you're, you know, laying down somewhere with your eyes closed,
I think that's important.
Yeah.
I'd be scared to go out and do it, you know. I'd want somebody watching.
I don't know. It's like self-medicated and stuff. Like when I tried quitting by myself for my opiate addiction, I tried weaning myself off of painkillers. And, you know, like I can take low doses, but eventually I'm going to, you know, something's going to take over me. I'm just going to say, you know, forget about it. Fuck it. I'm just going to take whatever I want. You know, it's like if I had it done professionally, yeah, it would have took a lot longer and it would have been like easier on me, you know, to get off of if I got weaned off. Because that's what they do with alcoholics. Like, granted, like opiate withdrawals is like you feel like you're going to die and you want to die, but you're not going to. But with alcohol and Xanax and stuff, that's the only like withdrawals you can get, because you can get grandma seizures and stuff. And you can die from that. So
you get real physical.
You can drop opiates and nothing will happen? Like, no matter how deep into it you are?
What do you mean?
Because you're saying, like, the withdrawals, you feel like you're going to die, but you won't.
Oh. Withdrawals are the worst thing ever. Yeah. Like, it's like, that's one of the reasons why I never wanted to quit, is because ain't no one got time for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like I said, 16 days. Like, I couldn't get sleep for like 30 minutes of sleep maybe every 4 hours. And this is like, I'm dead tired. Wow. You know, eyes, like, my eyes would be open. Like, I'd be staying there sweating, diarrhea, nausea.
You basically got to sit and suffer the time.
It's like,
right?
3 days is like 3 months kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, because like, there's nothing for you. Like, you can't concentrate on anything. You don't want to do anything. You can't get your mind off of it, because all you think about is drugs. Or pills, whatever.
You hear that? I'm saying. For any fuckers thinking about trying it, or, you know, abusing.
Oh, one thing is, thanks for reminding me, like, I thought when I first got into it, I can try it once, I ain't never be the addict. Like, because I've seen people who were worse than I was before I stopped, or who were at my point that I was before I stopped. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen, like, the stages. Like, people, you don't care about your hygiene anymore. So you don't take showers, you know, brush your teeth maybe here and there, maybe, you know, like you just don't care about your hygiene. I've seen people like that. I'm like, oh, I'll never get like that. Like, I'll just do it once. I'm just doing it to get high. I'm just doing it to feel good about, you know, whatever. And then you know where I went at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still got scars to prove it. But, sorry, Dale.
No, it's fine. You just basically said what I was going to say, but you said it better.
Oh,
you know? From experience. Just don't fucking pick it up or don't start it, you know?
Don't do it.
The best way to not be an addict is, don't start.
True that. Smoke weed.
You know, oh, like someone was there. The rehab. You ever seen or everybody's seen Half Baked, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And someone said, like, "What's your drug of choice?" That's what you ask you in a small group, because we talk like this in small groups, and everybody gets turned and what they're whatever. And this one person came, was like, "What's your drug of choice?" Like, marijuana. And I was like, I looked at everybody, and I was like looking at my friend, and I'm like, I was gonna like say some shit, but that's kind of rude. So I was like, but I think this is how it goes in Half Baked. With it. The guy goes, marijuana, and then someone's like, he's like, "You ever suck dick for marijuana?" I used to suck dick for coke. I seen him, you know, like the black dude.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I couldn't do the voice, but it's fucking hilarious.
Never seen it.
Never seen Half Baked.
No.
Oh man,
it's like that point, because he was trying to quit weed, and then he was talking about like how he was weed, and then Bob Saget was on there. He goes, "Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke. Have you ever sucked dick for marijuana?" And he goes, "And I seen it."
That's funny.
Did people around you have the same reaction you did when he said marijuana?
When he when that person said marijuana, in her defense, it was her first day, and she didn't want like to look like, you know, she said marijuana. Eventually she was an alcoholic, marijuana kind of stuff. Like, a lot of people go because they drink and just that high feeling, and they haven't tested out any other drug. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I remember this one other girl, she said she was an alcoholic and everything like that, and started talking about pills. And like, a lot of people don't know about themselves, you know, like they just sit there and they think they do know, but they don't. Like, the way you, if I were to tell you something and I have a different mindset of what I am than what you do, you know what I'm saying? That's how it pretty much was, because this girl was saying like, "Oh, she's not an addict. She can do pills if she wants. Her thing is alcohol." But then she started talking about how she used to do like a bunch of pills all the time and get high, but then like she couldn't get them anymore, so she went and drank. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, "No, bitch, you're an addict." You know, like, because like when I go out and say, "What are you? Like, you're an alcoholic, you're an addict. I always say like, you know, I'm an opiate addict. I say this, maybe it's not the right thing to say, but I say it just to tell myself like don't do opiates kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. If I do opiates, I might fall back into what I do. If I drink, I have drank and I don't, you know what I'm saying? Or Ritalin or Adderall, you know, like that's like, Adderall is just like Coke, but it's just like, I tried Adderall like maybe once this whole time I got out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't tried opiate since, when I say my clean date, I always say clean because I'm clean. I don't say sober because I haven't been sober, you know?
Yeah, well, you got to stay away from opiates. It's good to have you back. And, you know, I'd love to see you a lot more. I'm pretty busy, but I mean, I can always find time. And whenever, you know, if you ever need someone to talk to, just like the other day, just come over. I mean, what time was it?
I'm around in the restroom.
Cool.
It was
it's like 3 a.m. maybe.
Man, I was faded. I was
drunk as fuck. Yeah, it was really late, you know.
I wasn't really that drunk, I lied, but
yeah, it's always cool. Especially, I mean, I don't know how it's going now. Like, do you ever feel like you want it?
There's always an itch. I don't know the correct term, or if you want to say scratch the itch, if that means you're doing it or ignore it, or I mean, there's always a back in my mind that, you know, if I'm bored or if I want to do something, like, honestly, like, to be truthfully honest, like, I mean, my mind, I guess, would love to do that shit every day, you know, like, shoot, the first time I ever shot up dope was better than any sex you can ever have. It's the best one, like pretty much the best feeling on earth. And I think it might be a fact. I'm not sure, but it's my fact. it's just knowing that if I do pick up, everything that I've went through, like this, like I said, the 16 days. I forgot to tell you, like my eyes are open so much that I'd go cross-eyed. Like my eye would like start hurting and get lazy, and I'd see double for 3 hours before I had to go back to bed, you know, like, and it took me 16 days to feel somewhat normal, sleep more than 2 hours at a time, you know, and I still don't feel normal. Like, I still get a little bit of withdrawal symptoms, and like I said, over 120 days sober, and I mean, I work out every day, so it's not like I'm unhealthy, and it's just like, I just know that, like, I don't want to go back to what I was, you know, and then I got a lot of people who are looking up to me for it. I mean, like, who are counting on me to stay sober. I got, you know, I got responsibilities. I got to start, like, you know, I got to be a man. Like, you know, I'm 26. And
I'm one of those guys, man. I'm counting on you, too.
Yeah, man. You know, it's all about support. Like I said, you can't do it by yourself. They talk about, like, spirituality. What's your spiritual? Like, it's not really, like, religion. It's what you can always count on. Like, because you can't always do it yourself. And, like, that one night, I count on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, as long as I have that support, I'll be fine. And but if you don't have that kind of family or friends, like how I do, like, there's always meetings, and those people are really cool. They're always there. You get a sponsor. People give out numbers, and they care. Those people they've ended up forming like close bonds, because, you know, you talk about a lot of feelings that, like, you probably won't normally talk to other people, and then you form a close bond. You can bond and you can count on each other when times are rough. You know.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Because not everybody has the type of love and support from friends and family like I do.
Yeah, you have an awesome, amazing family. You also have another family over here.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever you need to, make sure you're going to somebody really supportive, like someone from your family or from your other family over here, because we're all here for you.
Love you, bro.
I love you too, man. But we're here over an hour, and Adele's over here dying. So we're gonna cut it. It was fun. I hope you had a good time. Does it feel good to talk about it?
It took like maybe like 10 minutes to feel comfortable. But like after a while, like I really wish I would have wrote, like I said, wrote stuff down. And
if there's anything you want to add, because we put show notes up on the website. If you want to maybe leave like a little paragraph or something, or anything you want to add on there, you can give it to me and I'll throw it on there for you. And every week in the middle of the week, I have like just random people just talking. So if you ever want to come on and hang out, that's what we do. But yeah, Adele, you doing all right?
I'm dying over here.
All right, well, this is it. Ben had a good time. Did you have a good time?
I had a good time.
All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed. Check out allthingstimbo.com. Support the podcast by clicking support. And there's three options right now. I'm working on some more. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Later.